If you think this election is all about money, you're right. And I'm not just talking about the economy. More than $1 billion have been spent on negative ads, mailings, robocalls, and other tactics to sway voters. That's double from 2008.
Personally, I think that money could be better spent in the communities.
Eva Valentine is the president of the Massachusetts League of Women Voters.
I mean, we have bridges that are falling apart. We have roads that need to be repaved. We have children that need to be educated. We have families without homes. I mean, there's so many better places that money can be used.
Money is certainly fueling the Brown-Warren Senate race, the most expensive one in the country. The candidates made a pledge that essentially blocked negative super PAC ads from being played on their behalf. But that's not the strategy in the 6th Congressional District, where incumbent John Tierney faces a strong challenge from Richard Tesei. Super PACs are behind some of the harshest commercials.
It's time for John Tierney to man up and tell the truth. The whole truth. The YG Action Fund is responsible.
More tax breaks for millionaires. Richard Tesei. We can't afford to let him get started.
House Majority PAC is responsible for the
consequences. Super PACs have become a major political force nationwide. But who's funding them? In Massachusetts, corporate titans are bankrolling key races. The New England Center for Investigative Reporting analyzed a new national database that combines state and federal contributions. It found three corporate executives and their wives who have chipped in more than $1 million each. Former biotech chair Rainier Bucus and his wife Nancy of Concord top the list, donating more than $1.1 million to Democratic candidates and causes. A nearly equal amount was donated to Republicans by New Balance chairman Jim Davis and his wife Anne of Newton. Close behind, longtime Bain Capital director Paul Edgerly and his wife Sandra, who donated just under $1.1 million, also to Republican efforts. The analysis by the New England Center for Investigative Reporting showed other deep-pocketed donors contributing more than $200,000 each, from investment banking to healthcare, finance to technology, conservative and liberal, all within the 495 loop. The common thread uniting these wealthy donors? The rise of unlimited spending by super PACs.
The result is this unbalanced political system where the rich and powerful are essentially shouting at each other, and the average American is left out of the dialogue.
Pam Wilmot is the executive director of Common Cause Massachusetts, an organization that lobbies for campaign finance reform.
And now we're kind of in the Wild West of anything goes.
The Wild West of campaign financing is in large part a result of the notorious Citizens United Supreme Court decision in 2010. It ruled that government could not ban corporations and unions from making direct political contributions. This, in effect, led billionaires like George Soros and the Koch brothers to donate millions, making the race for office a financial arms race. David Keating is one of the founding fathers of super PACs.
I started the group called SpeechNow.org that won the lawsuit that led the way to the first super PACs.
Keating now runs the Center for Competitive Politics, a nonprofit that advocates for political free speech.
Basically, the idea I had was pretty simple. Why not get a group of us together and we'll all put money in together and then speak to other Americans about what we think should be done in terms of who should be elected to represent us in the government?
Keating makes it sound so civil. Americans talking to other Americans. The controversy, of course, is that his Americans are talking with money, and the more money they have, the louder their voice. Common Cause's Pam Wilmot.
You had a right to free speech, but you didn't have a right to drown everybody out. You didn't have a right to stand on the street corner and speak through a bullhorn. And that's essentially what we have today in politics, is a few people standing in the corner with a megaphone and everybody else covering their ears.
Rush hour at the Government Center T station. People wearing business suits and baseball caps, skirts and sweatpants wait on the platform for their ride home. I went to this crossroads to see where local voters stood on election speech.
How do you think money has influenced this election season?
I think it's caused too many commercials to be on and advertisements. I just think that there's a general impression that money talks a lot more than the general voter.
The lion's share of the conversation is going to be for the benefit of whoever can afford to fund the conversation, not necessarily the people who are going to be voting.
This seemed to be a common theme among voters I talked with. But when I asked David Keating if wealthy contributors have a more influential voice than regular voters, he said no.
I think fundamentally people who are in office are more concerned about getting the voters to vote for them. I'm not going to say they're not going to take some donor's phone call or even meet with the donor, but everyone knows who these donors are. And if people think there's undue influence, I think there's going to be plenty of coverage of that, and there will be a political price to be paid at the next election.
Harvard Law School professor Lawrence Lessig disagrees.
These candidates have been spending their time jetting around the country to the richest parts of the country to talk to the richest people in the country so they can raise these huge contributions directly to their campaigns and indirectly to the super PACs, because that's what the system demands.
Lessig says that as long as this system continues, fundamental issues like global warming cannot be addressed in a rational way.
The framers of our Constitution gave us what they called a republic. But by a republic, they meant a representative democracy. And by a representative democracy, they meant, as they said in Federalist 52, a government that would have a branch that would be, quote, dependent upon the people alone. But we have a government which is not dependent upon the people alone. It's dependent upon the people and dependent upon the funders. And the funders are this tiny, tiny slice of the 1% of the people.
There's a growing backlash to the Citizens United ruling. As part of a nationwide movement, voters in 150 Massachusetts communities get their say on the court's ruling. On the ballot in half our cities and towns, a non-binding question calling on Congress to pass a constitutional amendment overturning Citizens United. Despite this bipartisan movement, David Keating remains firm in his resolve that more speech is better. He says the money spent by super PACs is used to persuade, not buy votes.
People who believe that a lot of speech is going to somehow bamboozle the voters, well, that's kind of a strange form of logic when you think about it. If the voters are so shallow as to be misled by more speech, then, you know, the implication is we can't trust voters to make the right decision in the first place.
But before voters can make a decision, they have to wade through the barrage of messages coming from super PACs. Ibi Caputo, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.